We're in Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 to chapter 3, verse 3a, God's correction of a servant's heartless disobedience. Love for others is essential in God's eyes for a life of righteousness. I recall Matthew 22, 35 to 40, where the Pharisees approached Jesus. They wanted to know what were the greatest commandments. And Jesus said, the greatest commandment, of course, is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And then he added, and the second light is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In fact, he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, the entire Old Testament hangs on that. Loving God and loving our neighbor. So if one of God's servants harbors a heartless unconcern for other people to where he refuses to minister to their needs as assigned by the Lord, God addresses it with very sharp discipline. That's what happened to Jonah. That was his experience in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, 3, and we view it for motivation, that we might care for others. Let me just read the passage, and then we'll get into it. Jonah chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, going to chapter 3, verse 3. So Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of Hades, cried I, and you heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, and in the midst of the seas, and the floods surrounded me about. All your billows and waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of your sight, yet I look again toward your holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul, and the depth closed me about, round about. And the weeds, or the seaweeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, unto thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach it unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Okay, it's kind of a cute ending here. The Lord says, all right, now, let's try this again. Arise, go to Nineveh. And it did. It worked. By way of review, we recall how Jonah had tried to run from God's assignment to evangelize the people of Nineveh due to his heartlessness towards them. This is all by way of review. God had called Jonah to arise and go to Nineveh, a great city, and to cry God's warning against it for its wickedness in an obvious effort to get its people to repent and avoid God's judgment. That was what we covered in Jonah chapter 1, 1 and 2. Now, the Ninevites were very cruel Assyrians, and Jonah knew from the prophecies of Hosea 11:5 and Amos 5:22, these prophecies had already occurred by Jonah's time, that if the people of Assyria repented, God would preserve them and let them invade Jonah's people of Israel. Now, this is kind of like saying, go and lead people in Iraq or in Afghanistan to Christ, okay, or get them to repent. That way they can invade your country. Well, you know, I mean, Jonah's sitting there saying, I really don't want to do this. I don't want these people to repent. Now, the Ninevites were cruel, so he didn't want them to repent. So not wanting the Assyrians to repent, Jonah had disobeyed God's calling, taking a boat west to Tarshish, away from God and from his assignment. Tarshish is over 3,000 miles the other way. That's just about as far as their map ended at Spain, and Tarshish is in southern Spain. Some people think Tarshish might be Gibraltar, but I think it's actually a city in southern Spain. It was as far as he knew to go. I mean, the Azores were out there a little further. But beyond that, I think in the old times they thought you'd drop off the end of the earth and that would be it. So you didn't want to go too far out into the Atlantic Ocean. But God then sent a strong storm to intercept the boat and have Jonah cast into the sea and disciplined for his heartless waywardness, and then to be swallowed by a special fish. I think Jonah was hoping that when he was cast into the sea, he'd just sort of drown and be over with. But the Lord didn't, give him the option. He had him swallowed so he'd be alive in the belly of the fish, and that was much more terrorizing. He needed the fear of God. So it's interesting, in verse 16 of Jonah chapter 1, the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. But the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. It'd be actually a lot easier just to drown in the ocean than it would be to be swallowed by a fish and go that way, because there's a lot more trauma involved in getting swallowed by a fish. Anybody can, you know, it'd be a real trip psychologically. I would imagine it would be traumatic. And a lot of people wouldn't be able to handle that. Even if they stayed in the fish 3 days and three nights, they would come out and they would have real mental problems, to say the least. But that's what the Lord did. He had to get through to a tough prophet. Well, understandably, the terrifying experience of being in the belly of a great fish for 3 days and three nights had its effect, and it made Jonah repent of his heartless disobedience regarding Nineveh. And that prayer details the trouble that Jonah had faced in the fish and how it led to his repentance. You'll notice in verses 3 through 6, the first part, verse 2 rather, Jonah reported that he had cried to God in his affliction in the fish, and God had heard him. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell or Hades I cried, and you heard my voice. So that's what often, the Lord knows just how much we can take. He knows how to punch our buttons to get us to respond. And he got this prophet to respond this way, in a very interesting way. Then the mental, the emotional, and the physical suffering Jonah experienced in the fish is noted in verses 3 through 6. First of all, Jonah claimed that he realized in the fish's belly that the fish had descended into the depth of the ocean, leaving him in danger of dying in the sea with no possible human hope of deliverance. Remember in verse 3, Thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods surrounded me about. All your billows and your waves passed over me. In this day and age, if you got into a fish and went down, you might think, well, there may be hope because maybe someone out there with a sub is going to come along and help me. But there were no submarines in Jonah's time. To get swallowed by a fish and then to have the fish make a dive. And we're diving several thousand feet, to say the least. For him, there's no hope besides God. God is his only hope. Because he's in the fish. That's one problem. But then, not only being in the fish is very, very deep. So if the fish disgorges him right there in the water, he's going to die because of the crushing pressure of the sea that's around him. So, and the sea is often seen as a picture of that which is traumatic. In fact, they say if you have dreams and large bodies of waters are there, that normally indicates a fear. And so this is something that is very traumatic. Realizing that he had thus been driven from God's sight in keeping with how he had originally tried to run from God, Jonah prayed to God in the Jerusalem temple for help and for his deliverance. Notice verse 3, For you have cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods surrounded me about. All your billows and your waves passed over me. See, he had tried to run from God and to be leaving God's sight. And so God says, all right, I'll put you out of my sight, but in the belly of a fish. And since you want to go in the sea, we'll use the sea too. So he took him down to the depths. See, this is all designed to get Jonah to say, let's get away from the water. It's a lot safer just to obey the Lord and go to Nineveh, which means going east, rather than to go west out into the sea. So God has his way of getting to this man. So he prayed. And in those days, you would pray to God, and God's presence was in the temple. So that's why he said in verse 4, Then I said, I'm cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. You'll notice a number of the psalms that David had, he prayed towards the holy temple. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. The hills that he was talking about were the hills of Jerusalem, where the temple was and where God's, or the tabernacle was, and God's presence was in the holiest of holies there. That's why he was lifting his eyes up to the hills. Doesn't mean that somehow hills are holier than valleys. In those days, the hills were the hills around Jerusalem, and that's where the temple of God was. So he was praying towards God in his temple. So God graciously saved him from the deep ocean, where in the belly of the fish, seaweed had been wrapped around his head in a seemingly hopeless end for Jonah. Verse 5 and 6, The waters surrounded me about, even to the soul. In other words, the waters were surrounding him, but they affected him, even his life. And that would be not only his physical life, but his mental, his emotional life, spiritual life. The depth closed me round about. The seaweeds were wrapped around my head. That must have been traumatic. And I have seaweed wrapped around your head. You're in the belly of the fish. I don't have much choice. I heard one scholar say that when Jonah was vomited out onto the sea because of being in the belly of the fish with its acids, his skin and his hair would have been bleached white. And he says, I can imagine someone coming into the city of Nineveh with white hair and bleached white skin and saying, repent or God's going to judge you. That would have probably put the fear of the God into anybody. Just the sight alone was traumatic. But anyway, that's what happened. So Jonah relayed how that as his physical, mental, and emotional life began to wane within him due to the terror of what he faced, and he had remembered God that he had prayed to him in his temple. The last part of verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars is about me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, unto thine holy temple. Someone has said there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. In other words, when a person is under fire and you can't run anywhere, then... And that's true. One of my professors in a seminary that I attended had been in the Battle of the Bulge. He said, I'll tell you what, there were a lot of guys that were crying out to God because they were surrounded on all sides. And it seemed that they were going to lose their lives. And so there were a lot of people. In fact, he said, God, he was 17. He says, if you just let me live to be 18, I'll do anything you want. So the Lord took him up on that, and he became a seminary professor. That's interesting. And then there was a tremendous lesson that he learned. Jonah learned a lesson from his experience. Those who depend upon vain idols for fulfillment, as did the pagans, forsake hope in God's loyal love. So he said in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities, that would be idols, forsake their own mercy, their own rescue. In other words, he recognized that the only solution that he had to his predicament was God. And that's why in verse 9, he promised to offer a sacrifice and thank God for delivering him and to pay his vows that were made in the fish. For deliverance from such dire troubles comes only from the Lord. But I will sacrifice, verse 9, unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So, the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. You know, this is very gracious. God could have had him chuck him out, 100 yards from shore, and then he's going to have to swim. But he didn't. He brought the fish right up onto the land, and he vomited him right up on the land. A lot of fish wouldn't do that. They just, right in the sea. But he had him deposit him on the land. And he deposited him on the dry land, right on the beach, so he could get his nurturing, get his strength together, and stand up. Well, once he arrived on land, God's word came to him the second time, directing him to do what God had initially designed him to do. If you check Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, with Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, notice the similarity. Let me read the first time. In Jonah chapter 1, 1 and 2, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. The second time, God says, arise, go to Nineveh, same thing, that great city. And then he says, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. You know what the message is. I've already told you what the message is. It's time for you to go. Time to preach. What do you say? And Jonah says, all right. Uncle, his arm was twisted. So he did. He arose. He got up off the beach, verse 3, bleached hair, bleached skin, and he went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Well, affected by God's discipline with his time in the fish, Jonah obeyed. He subjected his heartlessness for the people of Nineveh to God's will by going to that city to preach in obedience to the word of God. Since Jonah harbored heartless animosity for the Assyrians, God had called him to evangelize. And so tried to avoid the assignment. God severely disciplined him into repenting of his disobedience. So an application to avoid God's severe discipline, two things. Number one, May we fulfill the assignments that He gives us, regardless how unsavory they may seem to be. And then number two, may we have compassion on those God calls us to help in accord with His will, regardless how unlovable the parties involved may seem to be. I have been amazed just this last year to realize how many opportunities God has given me to minister to people who at one time were, for one reason or another, somewhat estranged from me because of some tension that had come up in regards to biblical stands we were taking or whatnot. And I would have never dreamed that I'd had the opportunity to communicate and minister to them once again. But the Lord provided that opportunity. And it, all year long, it just seems things have happened and that opportunity has come up. And the Lord has been hammering this lesson home. See, we don't know who's going to respond to Christ in the end. They may be hard as nails now. They may be, you know, against the truth of God's Word. But sometimes people change. And God always wants us to be ready to give the Word out and to give it out to anybody, even if someone who might seem to be originally a difficult person. This was a very difficult group of people for Jonah to reach. He did not want to reach Assyrians so that they would have the opportunity to come in and invade his territory, his people. And his people were wicked. They had it coming. But he didn't want that. But God got on his case. And so I find this a tremendous lesson. Boy, God wants us to be highly motivated. If God is leading us, and we know He's leading us in a specific direction to do a specific service, He wants us to be motivated and say, yes, sir, and, you know, go with a smile on our face and go at it. Because if we go out there kind of grumpy, you know, He can make life pretty grumpy. It's like my parents used to say, if you're going to be grumpy, I'll give you something to be grumpy about, you know. Or if you're going to whine, I'll give you something to whine about. And basically, it was God was here. I want you to go to Nineveh. You might not like it. You might not think it's exciting, but you're going to Nineveh. And so He did. So God help us, and recognize that there's nothing better than the will of God.